Tabiso Dlamini from the South African Democratic Students Movement, SADESMO.
Good morning, comrades. This is Mabulele from the Office of the Minister.
Good morning, all. I'm Achille Kata from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Member who was supposed to be with us this morning submit a policy for her because she fell sick in the wake of
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The objective is to introduce modern technology systems to manage the funds of the institutions, and as I mentioned earlier, funds available to them in virtue of the institutions of the again, we should presentation for the university of technology One of the strategic goals is to become the first integration of humans in the university and technology college system. And in this regard, in fact, the world is supporting programs in collaboration with other institutions, with institutions and other stakeholders to give students the best chance to collaborate. We want to use collaboration rate. We also want to ensure that more students graduate from the this really achieves two objectives. One, getting students through the university and the college system in the minimum time possible. Reduce the social burden of financial aid on those students. Secondly, it also frees up places for new students who can do this. And then it also assists with improving recovery rates from student graduation. Sooner students complete their qualification, get into the labor market, under the employment, earn above the income threshold for the family. Sooner that student can start repaying the loan and making more funds available to the university to provide financial aid to students coming after the university. And then to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the organizational structure, they can enable the staff to move to the family. A key focus is to ensure that we have staff have the skills and competencies that are required for the operating model, and we will be talking more about some of the initiatives that are happening in the These strategic goals, design principles, and objectives have all been aligned to define the new operating model. I'm now going to hand over to Richard Kim Little to deal with the technical. As the data set out now, what
and Thank you. We're not in the business of on the border itself, on the financial implications of the new model services, the budget has been provided for the new model. Nathan mentioned that we've already gone out and set up for the new model. There's a budget that has been provided for $8.2 million over the next year to design the model, to implement the infrastructure, and to do policies around the new operating system. The budget has been approved by board with concurrence of the two ministers, Minister of Education and Training and the Minister of Finance. And as Nathan has mentioned also, the new model will require significant additional human resources to operate, because we'll now be dealing directly with the student. We have to have a contact center for students to raise questions directly with any class, and we have better access to students. But also, because of the direct approach and the relationship that will be maintained by NEPSA to the students, we will now be able to improve our recovery, because now we have a relationship with the students, we know where the student is, where they are, we know how much they are earning, we know when they are able to pay, and then that will improve the recovery that we get from the students. And that is the biggest financial benefit of the new model. Thank you.
Thank you. out by the voting broker, what would that be called? Conventionally, as you have said, about a loan or a letter, she pays or he pays the person. She's not entitled, or he alone, or whether he falls away, am I correct? Now, here we are saying the whole two is due to our body, the process of program. What does that mean in relation to that principle? And lastly, killing in the current time, I think that would have this performance agreement or something. You see, we have right agreement performance subject that the surgery process is for over 4 years now. How are you going to consider such a policy agreement? And to be clear, we've got a policy and customer agreement for principal. This has not come by because of final processes, neglect, and then how are we going to come by and exercise such a policy agreement? So we know not be subjected to these other processes. And the money, it's true that we have, which of course, we are saying money is still to pay to investors, unfortunately, which portion of money is to pay to grow from this land? For which of transport, is that all the portion?
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I would like to say that I really think that the Supreme Court needs to be run. That's my very slight thing to hand up. Thank you, Chair. I just want to find out for my own clarity. Am I correct in my understanding that the money paid to the student now will be for the full cost of the tuition? And will the process that universities and colleges use of top flight, will that now be excluded from the whole system? And if that is the case, am I also correct in saying that what is said is you have not been used? That number will actually now become smaller because of the distortion of the rate coming in relative to the students and not to the distortion of rate to what the and I'll hear from that. And then also to come to the clarity, that you want to combine the process with the physical application process. Now, in your documentation, you refer to admission. Now, as I understood, from the department side, there's only applications but not admissions. So you're still going to be a gap between students just applying and then actually getting admission at a particular university. Can you take all that in your process?
Thanks, Chair. I don't know whether I understand the paragraph or not. But I see it saying correct. Saying 1 million students. That gig alone makes me much better than ever. But I'm interested in finding out whether how many of these 1 million students are for the gig that. My last question relates to operational implications of the most. As far as I can see, this change is a fact if those who are already employed by
some of the professionals who really wanted to conform to the new mode. What preparations are there for them either to be taken out of the system? What preparations are there for them to be taken out of the system? And then what preparations are there as well for those who will not follow your instructions or whatever rules you have, but take you to court immediately?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We must be mindful of time.
Yeah.
But it's fine because the small plenary is in the afternoon. We can continue until 4. I need to understand. There is space dedication outside, so we can work through lunch, I understand, without eating. Because this is in the best interest of society. We can work without lunch. I understand.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, mine is on the allocation formula. I think the report on the review of NSFAS indicated that the full cost of study formula was inappropriate in that historically advantaged institutions were benefiting more and so on and so forth. And an average full cost of study was recommended. And I think that they used the 2009 fees as an example, which amounted to about less than 45,000 rand per student. So I just want to know, in terms of how it is going to be applicable now, are we going to use the average as indicated, or are we still going to use the full cost of study as determined by institutions of higher learning? And then I think the other one is about, it concerns this one of NSFAS follows the student. I just want to find out, in a situation whereby a student, after receiving a confirmation that he will get a loan from NSFAS and is subsequently not taken into an institution of higher learning, what mechanisms are going to be put in place to ensure that the funding which was already allocated is redirected to other students who might be in need of that financial aid? Thank you, sir.
Chair, school needs students. Now, ZJ Young. Now, Chair, I must apologize. I had another committee meeting to attend to agriculture. The first one, Chair, I want us to get to understand. I know I've missed the bigger part of the presentation, but I've been reading this presentation. Who excludes? You see, academic exclusions and financial exclusions, they go together. Who excludes now in this new system? Who's going to exclude? Is it the institution or the? Because if my understanding is correct, is that funding has in the past been allocated for a certain period of your academic qualification. Maybe if you're doing a three-year qualification, then NSFAS would say, or institutions would say, that you can finish, if you can finish this qualification within a certain period of time, maybe 4 years or 5 years, I don't know. Now, a student movement, we used to say, if a student is excluded, once he can be able to finish that qualification within that identified period of time, that you cannot exclude this. Now, if you apply there to NSFAS, who excludes? If you are excluded by VAT, then you say, no, you can finish your qualification within 3 years or 4 years. You want to go because we didn't perform at VET, you want to go to Nelson Mandela University. Are you still going to be considered within the context of avoiding the dropouts that certain students still qualify within the identified period of finishing a qualification? That's why I always put who excludes who. The second one is on these walk-ins. I know that 2014 we have this system, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody would have applied through this system. Now, you have a situation that this person hasn't applied within the context of what the student was saying. The person who was allocated didn't go to that university. He approved, he doesn't go to school. Decided, no, I don't go. Now you have a walk-in now who comes to the university and says, I want to start, I don't have any other thing. Will it be, you will still have those people at university working for NFS there in that university, or they would sit there in Cape Town and then you apply there? Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. will register a student on the basis of that student providing legitimate accommodation. Bear in mind as well that in this system you'll call to the university. So the university registration and admission department can look on this system and identify the student as the student. So with no upfront payment, because the money is not going to follow the university. The money is going to follow the student.
So that is the negotiation.
successful lady has a performance management system. Thoughtful lady has performance management. It was part of how institutions are that performance agreements need to be in place at all start. Performance appraisal structure and performance management. And the performance management system needs to be identified by the trademark community to ensure staff needs to have access to the training that requires for the job. What we're going to be doing with the new system is ensuring that it is aligned of the performance management framework with the requirements of the new system. So we are not introducing a new performance management system. We are applying our performance management system to align with the new system. I think the chairperson wants to say something about coaching and I think that's for students. Transport, meals, private accommodation, which are not able to find their own facility, cost of books. But I also want to deal with the question of students having access to cash. The system is designed in such a way that where a student needs cash, for example, to pay taxes, that there will be a pocket, a bucket in the system for a cash allowance. Students are not going to be able to draw cash for accommodation. The student is not going to be able to draw from either an accommodation or meal allowance at the end. So there will be a cash component that can be made available in the event of the student necessary. But there are also applications that make it possible for accessories to respond to our calls. And so we can move money from one cell phone to another. We are looking at all those possibilities to reduce the amount that actually can work. So they don't have money to pay for. I think the question in relation to alignment with the agency sets a central application process in our expectations of the mission of partners. I referred to that earlier. We are able to distinguish between the students who qualify for the funding and students who qualify and so the systems will talk to each other. And that is built into the interoperability layer of the preparation for turbulence in the process. Current staff affected by the transformation process. We have already commenced a consultation process with them. Earlier in August, there was a workshop that was held for all staff on the constantly operating model. There were a number of questions about the new model and the implementation of all staff. Overall, staff are quite confused about the new model. But they are clearly the next stage of the process. We are now scheduling workshops for individual functioning staff. So we can talk about all staff. The next step is that each unit of functioning staff will have a workshop where it will be explained to them how the new model affects their department or their unit, and they will have an opportunity to ask questions. When it comes to individual people, sure, they will be approaching to engage on the system. And hopefully that way we will minimize the turbulence and ensure how many and that compares with
Just to further entertain the issue of credit bureau, I would say also that we need to be wary and perhaps guard against the fact that even though others may be employed, they may still not be able, you know, or even afford, you know, to pay what is expected from them. So there should be a standard way of formation that is established to say one is expected, you know, to pay a certain percentage if you are earning this much per year.
I'm sure they will clarify that. The question was asked by a member here about the threshold for those that are expected to repay on the basis of what they are earning and so on. They don't
have second to that, I think it's a given that the loan recovery becomes a challenge that continues unabated, and it's one issue that also to us now reinvites the fact that NSFAS is unable to even cover for all students who are financially needy. I'm referring back to the presentation of the system, the new system. I think also trying to guard against students misusing or abusing funds. On the issue of transportation, and we know that in many universities, students are still struggling, you know, with transportation means. For instance, the bus shuttles that are currently in use in many universities. But in specifically in rural places, you find that there are still no mechanisms in place where students can utilize a one form, a uniform way of transportation system. Now it says for transportation, perhaps it would be wise that we, the Department of Higher Education also brings into court transportation, which we know specifically the issue of transportation would be allocated for a specific cut where students can only use that. And now it means we are able to bring again to ensure that these funds, you know, remain within, you know, the NSFAS, and it's able to be utilized furthermore to assist other students. And also in Okay. Thanks.
I still want to know who excludes the
I'm so if you're a couple, he has got a very systematic work sometimes. If he was my lawyer in the court of law, I'll relax and understand that he's going to help the community in control. So he's in control, he's under the railway.
Okay. Within that that context, in which you have tried to respond to the issue of free flow of money of students. No, in terms of the allocation, what Sbu was asking, the money that is available for students to access. But I want to caution DG and all of us, which the formula that we have been using practically in institution was allowing a bit of control, but also allowing a sense of responsibility on the side of students. We must not forget that the students we're dealing with are students who would work tomorrow. We must not take them as if it's just a kid from high school. We must give them a sense when they are given money that they are able also to utilize and take responsibility of what is given to them. I don't want us to create students as if who are going to curtail, run them, and not give them a sense of responsibility, whatever sometimes is allocated to them. Then they
fallback basis is positive compensation. In this fact, you're not going to say, because you're only $2,500 effectively, you now have to pay $800. The affordability is in the minimum that's not very high. As your salary increases, there will be a recalculation of the system and the positive consequence will be through compensation for increased payroll reduction. As your salary increases, the affordability will be increased. How are students getting informed about development? How are students getting assisted with their career choices? How to apply for loans and bursaries? What financial services are available? In addition to participating in the Apply Now campaign, in addition to participating in the fact that the Apply Now campaign, the site is also engaging with through the Department of Basic Education with life orientation, particularly in terms of with life orientation, teaching part of the financial education, but also they can provide information to students. The first has three budget components. The first component is the budget for student loans and bursaries. That is $700. The first has an $82.5 million administration budget that is funded by an administration grant from the Department of the $98.2 million transformation budget is funded from this budget's own funds and the surpluses that have been accumulated over the years, cash surpluses that have been accumulated, for which National Treasury has previously given approval for this budget to retain in the office of the system. The budget was presented to the Minister of Higher Education and Training, and so that money is not coming from the who excludes the LISA criteria say that if a student is on a 3-year program, then you are allowed funding for things like 3 years. So you can access hybrid for that program on condition that you don't fail 1 year in time. Now, it is, and the issue is really what happens to a student from one university to another for the same qualification, different qualification. And I think we need to be absolutely clear about who has the authority to exclude students. A university excludes a student from academic grants or financial grants. Part of the new student-centered funding approach is to try to ensure as far as possible students from your family are not denied access. The term not excluded because of whether they are not excluded funding, but they are not excluded because they are already invested. Now, there are interventions underway at the moment to ensure that students get paid for continuing students in the Department of Higher Education and Training has no funding for students in 2012 who may have been eligible for NSFAS funding in 2011 but could not get funding, where they have continued, where they have debt, they can apply for NSFAS.
falls within the interface. The interface will not
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I would want to go back to the issue of the card management solution and to a certain extent agreeing to what was articulated in terms of the restrictions or limits on the amount of money that a student can access in cash form. But I think we ought to consider some of the realities that we find ourselves as students in institutions of higher learning. You find that in most cases that our service providers are profit motivated because of the nature of the people they are providing service to, and they will in most cases exploit us with exorbitant prices and so on and so forth. So that is why I think this one of having daily limits on the money a student can access is going to be a bit problematic, because if you are going to give a student 50 rand a day, by the time you eat breakfast, that money will be exhausted. You will not have money for lunch. You will not have money for dinner. So I think it would be much better if we would have monthly or periodical allocations of funds on a monthly basis, which will allow a student the discretion to go buy groceries elsewhere in town somewhere, whereby they can be able to cook their own meals and so on and so forth. Because I think that will also limit the misuse of funds. But this one of daily limitations, I don't think is going to assist us. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I thought I was going to be short. Now the President said here is setting me up. Yes, Chair, I want first and foremost, you know, to express our happiness with the whole presentation, really, because I think there isn't a single stage in terms of our engagements over the past 3 years that it has skipped. Since the pronouncements of the terms of reference for the NSFAS review, our own submissions to the NSFAS review committee in writing and oral presentation, our own feedback to the portfolio committee, I think you'll remember, Chair, we did raise that there were certain areas that were raised, but which were not matters of life and death, that were left out. But we do see in the presentation today that what we thought was left out in the report is today incorporated in the strategic plan. So I think that needs to be commended. But I want to say, Chair, that we also did raise the issue of the missing middle and gave it a context. The very same context of the net salary or net income per household. But you also gave it another context. You said net income alone cannot be an accurate measure of whether or not a student is deserving to be funded without further looking at the size of a household, because we do also know that households differ also in terms of size. So I think when we look at the issue of the missing middle, we need to be cognizant of that as well. And we further went on to say that we suggest that 300,000 rand net income per household, then the other details may be then looked at after afterwards. Our suggestion was that 300,000 rand. We had thought that maybe the NSFAS board would look into that and see if it is feasible and within its means as well. But I want to move, Chair, that we categorize this task according to four, or maybe break them down to four categories. One, there are department-specific tasks, that is DHET, ensuring accountability in these institutions. That's one very thorny issue, because I know that during our interaction with HISA, they wanted us to unpack accountability, which I found very disturbing. But two, the SETs themselves, I think we need to move with speed to transform them from just alternative to institutions to institutions of choice, both in terms of the awareness that we are going to inculcate among young people, but also in terms of their own make and feel, meaning issues of good governance, issues of infrastructure development and all those things, so that people feel attracted to go to them. And I think those are department-specific tasks while working with all other stakeholders. Then there are institution-specific tasks. So among the department-specific tasks as well is our call, DG, of a moratorium on fees, of fee increments, because the trend has always been the department or NSFAS this time around allocates more and there is more increase on the fees year on year. So we recycle and reproduce the same problems, because the very same average number of students that would not have got into the system because of financial reasons is the same average number of students the following year. The only thing that has changed is that there's been more allocation by NSFAS and also another increment of fees on the other hand by the same institutions. So that is the reason why we have always called for this moratorium on fee increment. But on institution-specific tasks, the compulsion on institutions must be overemphasized, and I must accept the blame also, Chair, that even on the side of the student movement, we have somewhat lifted our eyes off the ball when it comes to that, because it also only surfaces when there are protests on campuses that there is this pressing issue and that the minister has also given a directive. But during the year, we do not prepare ourselves for the following year to say, how are we going to avoid this year's January problems during registration? But I must say there is a degree of resistance. But I think there is also need to be a mandatory training of the Financial Aid Bureau staff on universities. Because the trend has always been, Sandile passes his honors and is jobless, but did his honors maybe in mathematics, therefore qualifies to go and work at an office and deal with financial aid issues without being trained or workshopped, even for 3 days, on specific financial aid details and how to handle people's information and all those things. And a lot of negligence and carelessness happens in the period of the hectic schedule of registration, application for NSFAS and all that. And the last one with universities or institutions is that of academic support programs, which I think I do agree with. But I also do believe, Chair, that students themselves are responsible beings. I usually am very uncomfortable with the notion that students are this lot that needs a lot of whipping around. Because some of them, it's a fact, they are heads of households. In fact, I know a lot of students who would be much frustrated if they haven't received their NSFAS allocation, because some of them use it also to take care of their own families, which is something that it is not intended to, but it is a reality of what happens on the campus with the life of a single student and their household. So when a student gets NSFAS, to them it's not only a benefit to him or her, it's also a benefit to the to the household in one way or another. There are those realities, even though we may not want to highlight them, because it's not supposed to be like that. in an ideal sense, but it is happening anyway. So I think we need to be very open to that. But I think, Chair, well, maybe the call for free education must never be further belittled than this thing of saying, funakube uthela wayeka nje, abantu bafunde noma kanjani. We are very cognizant of issues that when you call for free education, we are not saying people must just wake up and go to institutions, because there are issues of capacity of institutions to handle the numbers. There are issues as well of how that education or free education, what shape must it take. A lot of people have suggested a lot of things, but it all comes to the call for the removal of the financial impediments that make access to education a difficulty. Any responsible student leader or citizen would not call for a system etumuntu makafunde akhohle emva kwalokho ukuthi imali ayiqhamukeli. We've also even suggested a number of ways through which those loans can be recovered. But we are concerned with removing the financial impediment to access to education. And that's what we are talking about. Sometimes maybe we get so excited and maybe lose the context what we are talking about ourselves. So it's that I think we have not been able to refine. But if I may to simplify it, it is just what I've just said now. There are many options which require a discussion between the department, between the student leadership, between the structures that are entrusted like NSFAS to deal with funding. People have talked about a state mind to pay for education. They've talked about an education test. Those are all models. But at the end of the day, somebody must pay for the education. But we are concerned, DG, we are concerned, Chair, that the tendency to increase fees by institution, the moment government says there's an increase on funding, to us that looks a very inhuman, in fact, because it says profit first, then education can come later. And it doesn't sit very well with some of us. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I've got 2 points here which need clarity. This is regard with the transfer of money from cell phone to cell phone. Firstly, this costs a time. Then you have stated that students will be able to withdraw cash from ATMs, but now you are hiding behind a glass door by informing us about cell phone to cell phone transactions. Which is which? Are we going to withdraw our cash for item 17 products, or are we going to have to transfer from cell phone to cell phone? Then with regard to the central application process, what is the role of regional offices? Can't we utilize the regional offices to facilitate the accessing of funds? Institutions should regularly communicate with these regional offices, especially with regard to the students' academic performance. Thank you, Chair.
I've actually been observing basically issues around the students mainly and the access to the Nexus funding. And one area where I'm still concerned is the area of what happens to the student who has a sudden need for Nexus funding in the middle of the year. Where, especially, I think it was mentioned before, where maybe a parent dies, a parent who was actually funding. I actually just need clarity around how that will be dealt with.
Thanks, Jay. Let me just make one installment then. Though it is very difficult for one to make submissions after Comrade Packard has spoken, with regard to the operational implications of the new model, a mention was made that there would be a creation of new employment. And perhaps in trying to also deal with the issue of a loan recovery, which really is one of the issues that I'm concerned of. And in tracing also graduates who are still struggling to get employed and even repay, NSFAS. I think also what we need to do is that NSFAS itself must also play a role in assisting and placing the students so that they can repay this loan. So for such students, for people who will be then employed in trying to implement the new system, there should be a certain percentage also looked around having to employ students who still owe NSFAS and can still be able to assist in repaying the loan.
I think I must, for once, appreciate, I think, this direction towards. But I must say, DG, I always say this, we have a central application for students, we have not seen it work. Now we have this central application for NSFAS. We must find a way of communicating extensively this message, in particular to the rural poor. People who do not have access to these things and some of the technology that is going to be used here. We must use this opportunity to go out in a massive campaign to communicate this kind of a possibility that even themselves, because you see, when I was still at school, a student from rural area come with 150 to think that he will register, he will also have accommodation in 150 and so on and so on. I once met a student like that, came with 150, doesn't understand, he thinks high school. Now, we must go and find a way, as we're developing this program, to go and communicate a very positive message to our people. Not only communicate using only television when we want to say how successful we are doing, but use television to communicate that we are going to have this kind of a program. I would like that as we are building up to this, you do that. The FET question, I always emphasize on this thing of FET. We must find parity. When I put this, I always say, we are moving towards the direction of saying what Pakati was saying, that further education should be institutions of choice. Meaning, on the allocation also of students, we must be able to pump more money to further education and training. In terms of funding, there are staff that we are going to need in abundance. Once they don't necessarily support in full what is saying, but in abundance, we must make sure that the people from further education and training should also be drawn in that direction. That's why my question still exists. In those interns, 87, how many are from FHEs? Because I've been seeing adverts, even from a department, government department. But there's no commitment from this government department in saying, we are drawing in students from FHEs. You must lead that project to make sure that whatever you're doing, whoever you recruit and employ, there is that reflection of students from FET. It will only be an institution of choice if we do it in that way.
Thank you.
I'll go first. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to put into perspective the issue of blacklisting, because we had an opportunity to engage with the National Credit Regulator early this year as a department. And what they highlighted is that students, the majority of them, are not blacklisted because of outstanding fees. It's very common for students to have multiple departmental store accounts without any source of income. What happens if you don't pay those accounts? I, as a student, had three accounts before I graduated. How I managed to pay them, I think it's something that can perhaps be debated. But I think that's what I wanted to emphasize, that when we look at the issue of blacklisting, let's dig a little deeper and find out the reasons why people are blacklisted. And the majority of them is not because of outstanding fees. It's largely because of departmental store accounts. And the issue of free fee is already a reality. You look at final year program, for example. Any student that qualifies for that gets full cost of funding. If you get 60,000 as a final year student and you pass and graduate, it's automatically converted into a full loan. If you don't, full bursary. So it means that 60,000 NSFAS expects no recovery from that. And that is about success, because what it says, here's funding available, it is attached to performing very well, and therefore you benefit. But for students who don't pass all their programs or courses, what happens is that the normal NSFAS rules apply, 60-40 principle, so that students will still be supported come the following year. And just on the issue of engaging with other stakeholders to ensure that students benefit. Already we've started a relationship as NSFAS and the department with your CETAs. They are coming into the fore and offering not only financial assistance to students, but some of them are taking care of their outstanding bursaries as part of qualifying. So clearly you could see that, you know, there's a number of multiple efforts that are coming from the department as NSFAS and NSFAS in relation to assisting as many students as we can. And I think it's about important, and I think it's linked to the previous, to the Honourable Member's plea as a mother, that we must also emphasize the issue of success. Because if we are successful and there's efficiencies in the system, it means more students could be assisted. And the norm, like the acting CEO, interim CEO mentioned, is that it's for a three-year degree, 3+2. So students will get up to 5 years to be able to complete their qualifications. So those are some of the issues that I thought needs to be emphasized. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very wonderful, happy birthday.